everyone. This is Young Man the Prophet podcast. I'm its host, Matthew Espenlaub. This is going to be my 13th episode. Today, I want to speak on this great and awesome sacrifice that our Creator, God our Father, has made so that we, His creation, can experience life and life eternally with Him, so that we can exist side by side with God. You know, there is much to be said on this that we are lacking in understanding and experience of what God has done so that we do exist. Paul's hour 2,000 years ago, I'm sure a lot of this was understood and experienced in their hour. But since then, you know, God has caused much to happen to the church over the past 2,000 years, the seven church ages, that a lot of this has been lost. And He has purposed it this way, so that in these end times, He can bring this back full circle and cause us, this end time church age, to experience a fuller understanding, because we are in the hour of the resurrection and rapture. You know, this is something that God purposed, so that when He does come on the scene here for us to experience our full inheritance in Him, none of us can say, hey, I knew these things, or I have done this myself. He has done this so that He receives all glory. You know, and the full church itself, especially the ones that have died in Christ over the past 2,000 years, they need us in this hour to come into our calling, into our inheritance, so that they themselves can experience the full measure of their inheritance. God has caused this body to experience certain portions down through time of who He is. Every church age has received their own portion, so that this whole body of His is in need of each other, that without one church age, another church age would not receive her perfection. You know, it's pretty neat how God has done this, and it's all for His glory. You know, so I want to go over a little bit about this, and I have briefly in other podcasts and also on my website at youngmantheprophet.com, I have went into depth a little bit on who God is and what He has been doing and His predestination of everything. So I'm going to, in this podcast here, explain a little bit more in depth on the Spirit that's within us that gives to us our life, and how God has taken of Himself and given to us pieces of Himself. All right, so real quick, I want to go back in time here, the whole way to the very beginning of Cain and Abel. I want to speak on them for a little bit, and then we'll go through Jesus Christ Himself and show what He has done that has truly not only displayed the full measure of who God is, but also He has experienced this and has the key now to give unto us the truth and also the experience of coming into our inheritance in God. You know, back in Cain and Abel's hour, you have to think about this. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what they did was they covered themselves in their own works. And this is displayed by them putting on these fig leaves. It covered up their nakedness, you know, their inability to have anything in life of themselves. They covered it up. They didn't want to display that they don't have the power to exist without God. And so God comes on the scene and He sacrifices an animal and makes skins so that the relationship between His creation and Himself can be restored. You know, and it's much deeper than that, but that's the surface understanding. And if you think about this, you know, up until that point, nothing ever has happened like this. No animal was ever put to death. You know, this is a big event, you know, very crucial to see that Adam was given dominion and authority over these animals, these beings that had life in them. They were made lower than us, man, but they still had an existence in life. And here it is where God puts one of them to death, or two of them to death, however it went to pass. So this was had a great effect on Adam and Eve. So surely, when their children came on the scene of Cain and Abel, that they taught their two sons exactly about this sacrifice that God has made. Now, what happens? Cain, he wants to worship God and give unto God honor and glory. And what does he do? He takes the same exact thing that Adam and Eve did. He produces the works of his strength and gives this unto God, the fruits of the ground of his labor. You know, he tilled the ground, he did all this work himself, and he gives that unto God, and God doesn't accept it. So why doesn't Cain know what to do? You have Abel here who does the very thing that is pleasing unto God. He doesn't take something that he has worked himself. He takes a living creature and he sacrifices it and gives it unto God. And God accepts it. So you have these two individuals. One does his own works and Abel does the work that is pleasing unto God, which is what God requires. Now, if you look at these things, do you think that Cain just did this in direct disobedience to God? No, he didn't do that. You know, none of us do that. We have our own works that we have done. We try to be pleasing unto God, which is the works of the law. We don't do it in the sense of we're coming against God, we're rebelling against God, and so we're going to give the works of our hands. This is going to be pleasing unto him. We just don't know these things. We're not aware of these things. We're blind to all this stuff. And so Cain, who was obviously told by his parents what was pleasing unto God in this event that happened, he still did the very thing that they did. If you judge everything on the surface and you look at the surface events of mankind, then you're never going to see why these things came to pass. Because it's not about creation. Creation can't do nothing other than what they are led to do and shown to do. So in other words, Cain, even though he was shown these things, he didn't do these things because he wasn't empowered to do these things. Empowered by who? Empowered by God. God is the one behind the scene that is in control of everything. And he didn't empower Cain to produce a work that was pleasing unto him. Because Cain is a image for us to see of this in this natural realm of what our flesh is all about. This flesh is going to always produce works that please itself, that mirrors itself. Whereas a son of God is going to produce works that God himself has caused him to bring forward, and that is only pleasing unto God. To fulfill the law is to put yourself on the same plane and same level as God himself. No one can fulfill the law. It's impossible to do it. God has it set up this way so that no man receives any glory. To do the law is to say, I am God. None of us can, but he makes a way for us to still be equal with him. And that is where we receive our eternal life. And that is through him himself doing it. We must realize this. We must experience this fact that in order for us to be raised up into existence with him, he has to do it. The flesh can't. So the purpose of the flesh now is for us to experience this truth. And that was what Cain's purpose was. He was created to display the fallen state of man and who man is, that we are unable to do these things. It is a sacrifice that God has made to bring forward Cain and our flesh, so that the spiritual side of man, the one that experiences the truth, the sons of God, that they are buffeted by the flesh, that the flesh is what comes against our spiritual man, so that our spiritual man can be perfected. We need to experience these things. These things are here for a purpose that God has, so that we, as sons of God, experience the truth in who he is, that he is our creator, he is the one that has all life, he's the one that has given us life, and that without him producing these works in and through us, there's no way that we can ever exist with him. He has to do it. Now, what the flesh does is, the flesh, it causes a trial to come to pass in the sons of God, in the spiritual side, which is Abel. Eventually, what happens is the flesh is going to be put to death, which is Abel's physical body. The flesh, Cain, put Abel's flesh to death. And that is where now God can receive all glory, because we are placed into a helpless state that we can't do nothing about our flesh. Our flesh is always going to battle us. And until it's put to death, we have no power to do anything about it. And so it causes us to reach out to God and to call on Him and His salvation to release us from this hold that we have upon us. It's pretty neat. You know, this is new ground, though these things have been shown before. It's just we aren't aware of these things because we are in a state of such utter darkness that it is so hard to see anything. And if we do see something for a moment in time, we can't stay there. We are on the mountain for a little bit, then we're brought back down to the valley. These are the things that I'm being shown, and this is what I want to speak to the bride of Christ and to the world in general. This life that we have been given, this sacrifice that God has made of Himself, is crucial to truly see. We don't know anything about this. These pastors, they want to speak about our spirit. We are spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. This is their explanation, and they don't give anything more on it. In my prior podcast, I did speak on the difference between the spirit, soul, and the body. You know, but I want to speak a little more about the spirit now, where this spirit that we have that gives us our life, our existence, it comes from God Himself. It's a piece of Him. And this sacrifice that God has made is this. He has taken of Himself and created us. And the sons of God, that spirit that's within each of us, will no longer be with God Himself. He has taken of Himself and given us life. He has sacrificed portions of Himself that will no longer ever be back with Him. Though He has set it up in such a way, though, that He'll still be one with it. He'll still be one with us. But the true sacrifice that God has made is He has taken of His life and given us to have life. And this is what all these Old Testament types show us. That is the true deep revelation core that God is causing all of us to experience. And the Old Testament shows it on the surface level. It gives our carnal man an understanding of the five senses, exactly what God has done by us seeing these things come to pass in the physical. You know, and you can see these the same type over and over again all through the Old Testament. Over and over again. It's the same cycle that God sacrifices of Himself, gives us to have existence with Him, and then we must experience this truth. And that's what Jesus Christ Himself truly is and represents. The first thing is He shows Himself. He came on the scene for 3.5 years, had His ministry, displayed this kingdom of God that He was about to inherit, and all the sons of God were about to inherit. And then what happened? He had to experience the truth of this, and that was by being separated from God into the center of the earth for 3 days, and He experienced His powerlessness there, that the life that He had was not His own, that it belonged to God, and that God gave it to Him at a great price. He experienced this truth. He couldn't do anything to get out of that hole that he was in, the death that he was in, until the command in his spirit told him, now it's time. He experienced the truth that he didn't have the power. It was the Father that commanded him, and it was according to that command that Jesus Christ then raised Himself back up. And also at the same time, He took all of the Old Testament saints that have died in hope, and He raised them up too. Now, as we're talking about these types of Cain and Abel, Cain being the flesh and Abel being a son of God who needs to experience these things. Obviously, Abel didn't raise up from the dead at that time. You know, it wasn't until Jesus Christ had rescued him and the rest of the Old Testament saints from the grave itself. That's the true witness of it. But they still type out these things. Now, if you look, so what is Cain? Cain himself is a sacrifice of God too. You know, I've talked about this in earlier podcasts and also on my website about the only way for the sons of God to truly be perfected, God had to do it Himself. He had to have a system in place that was going to perfect His children. And how was He going to be able to do this? He had to do it Himself. There's nothing else out here that is going to create this. So He had to Himself sacrifice Himself into creating this fallen state, which is where all the wicked or all the unrighteous ones, Cain and everyone down through time who don't believe in God, they are made up of God too. This is His sacrificial part. And this includes all the ones that are in hell right now. It said that Jesus Christ, when he went down into the center of earth, he preached unto those who died before the flood. What he was doing there was they didn't have a overall example yet of the truth of what happened. And so what Jesus Christ did was they belonged to him, the ones in hell and the ones in Abraham's bosom. They all belonged to him. And he was preaching to their spirit. He was commanding their spirit that at some point here, that spirit was going to cast off their works too, all the wicked works. Everything's pretty neat in how God has this all set up. It's something. All these ones that are in hell are the sacrifice God himself has made. They make up him. You know, but at this moment, they are still in torment. And imagine this. You know, God himself has placed himself into a tormenting state so that we can not only see, be given the revelation of this truth, but also experience this truth. Because the hell itself represents our flesh. And the sons of God are in Abraham's bosom. We must be freed from this. Being freed from this state is where we experience that we didn't do it ourselves. You know, all the ones that were in Abraham's bosom, they were there for thousands of years. They knew there's nothing they could do to get out of that. It wasn't until Jesus Christ went there and rescued them out of there that they truly experienced that it was God who gives them life. You know, and that is what each of us has to experience. Now, here's another thing. The ones that are in hell and the ones that were in Abraham's bosom, what difference are either of them? There is no difference on the creation level. They all have done the same thing. They all are in sin. They have all been separated from God. There is no difference. It is God who has put all of us here. He has purposed it a certain way so that he could, at a certain point in time, down through time, redeem each of us out of the state that we're in. You know, this is where we're coming to. We're coming to a full redemption of all of this stuff, where God is going to receive much of his glory when the bride is truly resurrected. We have a lot of work to do. You know, there's multifold works that God has planned that each of us are going to perform. And when combined together, it is going to bring God his complete glory that he has purposed before he created anything. In the very beginning, when he did create everything, he had to sacrifice half of himself to create this creation, this fallen state, this first creation. And the second creation is the righteous angels that he created when it says, "Let there be light." And from there on forward is where the sons of God come on the scene. You know, there's two different lines, but all of it is God himself. He is the one that makes up everything. It's just that half of himself is going to be his body of glory that he is creating to worship him for all eternity. And the other half is literally him himself. You know, so he has purposed this way. He has set it up this way. We are born into sin, separated from God, so that we can experience our helplessness. And then is when we are rescued by Jesus Christ. He comes in through his angels and anoints our spirit, and our spirit begins to produce the same exact work that he produced in the center of the earth. We realize that we don't have the power to do anything, and then our spirit begins to undo these works of corruption. We begin to be released from the death that we are in. This is the gospel itself. Now, this is what Paul himself, when he was confronted by the circumcision of the Jews who would come and preach the law, who haven't been freed from their flesh and old works, who still try to self-righteously live up to God and act like that they can please God in their own strength. Paul would come against these individuals by showing that, not just preaching it, but showing that he has experienced within him a change of heart. It's called a purifying of his conscience. You know, he knew he did these works before of murdering the Christians, but his conscience was cleansed of this. He no longer felt the guilt and the weight and the fear of this. And he would also, when confronted, "What is your proof?" he would show his brothers and sisters that they are my proof, that they have experienced not just the law, but they have experienced a change within them that gives them a new life, a different consciousness. You know, this was the proof. a purifying of heart. And this is what we should be experiencing today if we truly are born again Christians. And if we're not experiencing this, then we should be able to recognize that we aren't experiencing this by the Spirit of the Lord. This is Romans 6, 7, and 8. Paul experienced this, and so he knew when these ones of the Jews that would come to him that were of the circumcision that preached the law, he knew that they hadn't experienced this, that they were still of the flesh, which is what I was just speaking of. That is the ones that are in the hell part, whereas the ones that were in Abraham's bosom part, they were the ones that were experiencing the life. Though, like I said, they are just typing this out until Jesus Christ came and rescued them. But it's the same for us here that are still in this flesh. You know, we are dealing with trying to fulfill the works of the law, our fleshes, and it's not going to happen. We're going to fail miserably. It's only when God himself brings us to pass in and through Jesus Christ. Now, the plan that God has set up is he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, we are first born in sin. We experience salvation. We begin to raise up ourselves out of this corrupted work. Whatever measure God has given unto us, and every church age is different. The first church age was given of a great measure where they are able to go forward in the spirit of a lion, where they're able to produce a lot of fruit that displayed what it truly means to be born again. They had to be the witness so that the next six church ages had a witness that they could see what it means to be truly born again. Now we are in this last hour, the seventh church age, where it's finished. We are about to experience this full resurrection of God's body that he has been creating for 2,000 years. This is the temple. And this temple is going to be resurrected. You know, so all these different periods of time, God has given anointing, and we all produce according to that anointing. In this hour, we are going to produce an anointing that is tremendous. This is the end of it. He's about to do a work in us that is truly going to bring to pass much of what he has planned. But it's still not the end yet. When we do receive our glorified bodies, we are going to go forward in the spiritual realm. Things need to be dealt with in the spiritual realm. Satan and his angels need to be cast out. They have been sitting there for eons, squatting. They are a portion of God that is his sacrifice, so that through them we can be perfected. You know, this is the battle. But now it's time for them to go from the spiritual realm. It's time for the spiritual realm to be cleansed. It's time for heavenly Jerusalem to be inhabited completely with the sons of God. No more of this corrupted state where Lucifer is able to condemn us and do all that he does in the spiritual realm. They're about to be cast out. This casting out is going to be done by this resurrected bride. We are going to cast them out. We are going to give command to Michael and his angels, because that's the authority we're going to have once we are resurrected. We are going to be over them. And we're going to tell Michael and his angels to cast out Lucifer and his angels. This casting out is going to have a tremendous effect on this earth, because now Lucifer and his angels are going to be close to this earthly realm, and the world itself is going to be completely immersed and one with Lucifer and his angels. Unless you are a son of God here on this earth that is going to walk out into the millennium. I mean, there is so much to talk about on all these things. I mean, so much. I want to continue, though, on this thought here of the ministry of reconciliation. So we have a work to do. The bride of Christ has a work to do. When we are resurrected, we are going to cast out Lucifer and his angels, and we are going to initiate this second half of the tribulation period. So now the Jews that are looking for the salvation of the Lord, they are going to receive this from the two witnesses. This is what it's all about. It's the two witnesses that are the culmination of all things. They are the capstone. They are going to give the truth, and they are going to display this truth, and Israel is going to be perfected by it. Now, this ministry of reconciliation that the bride is going to bring forward is not only for this creation, but it's also for God himself, who is this fallen state. He has to be redeemed out of it too. This is what it's all about. He has caused us to experience this salvation. And then the second part is he has caused us now that we must produce more works, that we have to use the same works that we have experienced, that Jesus Christ has caused us to experience to redeem our own selves. But now we must go forward and redeem the rest of creation out of this mess that God himself has placed himself in. It is something, this cycle that God has made. He has given us life, and now we must resurrect him out. It's absolutely amazing. Now, how this is all going to end up is in the lake of fire, all of those who are in hell and death itself, everything is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And this is where this cleansing is going to happen, where God is going to begin to be cleansed. All the spirits that make up these wicked individuals, these spirits are going to begin to do the same exact thing that we have done. They're going to begin to undo all of their sin and work and darkness that they have ever created, including Lucifer and his angels themselves. They are going to undo everything, but they're going to cease to exist. They're not going to have any life past this. What's going to happen is the spirit that is within each of these individuals in the lake of fire is going to come together after their works are undone. And this coming together, this spiritual body coming together, is going to be God himself. He is going to step out of the lake of fire. And it's awesome, man, to see this. This is the work that we have to do. You know, there's so much more to it. But the bottom line is this. All the works, all the things that are in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it all displays this truth that God is creating this body of glory, that the spirit within each of us comes from him. It's a sacrifice he is making. He is taking of himself and giving to us life. In order for us now to recognize this and to truly appreciate it and to experience this truth, he had to set up this fallen state, which is himself too, so that we could experience this truth, that we can experience the gravity of God sacrificing of himself so that we can have life. And he is fully immersed within this to bring this to pass. And he is raising sons of God up to show this to them so that they know what to do and the power to do it with. You know, unless someone is empowered to do these things and to see these things, you're not going to see them. You know, this is how he has it set up. It's him that's going to do everything. We are just going to follow suit. That's why Jesus says that God works and I work. All the sons of God are going to say God works and we work. We're going to be of one mind, one spirit, one soul, eternal soul, not to this temporary soul that's going to be undone. We're going to have eternal souls made of eternal works. And we're going to go forward and bring forth God's kingdom. And it's going to transform the spiritual realm and this physical realm. And it's all hinged on these two witnesses. That's what it's all about. The church itself is not going to be resurrected until the halfway mark. The only way they're going to be resurrected is through the two witnesses' ministry. They have been set apart by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ has been doing a great work in them. And eventually they are going to come on the scene and they are going to display this work. You know, these two witnesses, they haven't just received some dream or some vision and they think that they are fulfilling some type of prophecy or something. No. They will have experienced a work of the Lord Jesus Christ that releases them from their sin. They will know this. They won't have some weird idea like you have all these quacks out here today saying, oh, I'm Jesus Christ or something. No, these two individuals will have experienced something. And because they've experienced it, they will have power over the sin and over the spirits behind the scene. They're not going to fake anything. They are going to be on the scene in great power, and we will all know it because of what they are doing. Nothing will be able to resist them. That's how we will know it's them. They will be openly showing this. Now, how this is going to all come to pass is they are going to be put to death. The same thing as Jesus Christ when he was in his earthly ministry, when the Father gave his spirit command to lay down his life, and he also was given the command to take back his life. Satan and all of them, they don't have any power, true power. It's only what they're commanded to do. You know, this idea that they are allowed to do things gives strength to Lucifer and his angels as if they have ability and authority to do something outside of God. God controls everything. He is the one that is commanding Lucifer and his angels to do exactly what he wants done. They are his tools, just like the wicked in this world are his tools, just like the sons of God are his tools, just like Jesus Christ is his tool. They all belong to him. He has a purpose in all this. He is bringing it all to pass according to his purpose. It's going to happen. And these two witnesses, they are going to lay down their life. It's not the beast system that's going to kill them. Though on the outward, it seems like it. It's because this beast system has been commanded to do these works by the two witnesses. And then after 3.5 days, they're going to raise back up. They're going to be given the command and they are going to take back their life. And then they are going to go into the heavens and sit down on Lord Jesus Christ's throne. And they are going to anoint the angels with this work. And when they do anoint the angels with this work, that is going to be the seventh trumpet. And it's going to cause the resurrection of the bride. And it's going to cause everything else to transpire. Okay, so this is just, you know, my thoughts. I wanted to get this out today. And, you know, if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts about this, you know, I would love to hear it. You know, have some fellowship around this truth that God is showing in this hour. You can visit my website at youngmantheprophet.com and give me an email. And I would definitely love to have some fellowship and to talk about these things. All right, so this is Young Man the Prophet podcast. I'm its host, Matthew Espenlob. May you get something out of this. May the grace of God come into your heart and open up the truth, give you ears to hear and eyes to see. And may the Lord Jesus Christ perfect and glorify his elect.